We are going to be chatting a little bit about prayer this morning, and you're going to kick things off, aren't you?
Yes.
And we're using stools, a little change, wow. Eh? What did they say? A change is as good as a rest.
Is this how you meant to put it on? Does that look right?
Yeah, that's good.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, very nice.
Maybe down fine. A wee bit. It's kind of pointing your nose. There we go.
There we go. Good morning, everyone. How are we? Good. Can you hear me? Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. So, starting with a funny story. So, I grew up in a Baptist church, so there was lots of different ministers that would come and go, and it was a wonderful time. And one time, when one of the ministers had been there for quite a while, we had a retirement due. He would retire, and they would have a lunch, and someone knitted him a jumper on this occasion, and he told a few tales. And we asked him, what was one of the funniest things that maybe happened during your time here with us? And he told a funny story, which I always remember, of when he was praying. And this church had a pulpit, traditional kind of pulpit, and the congregation would sit out there. And then there was a balcony above it, you know, like, you know, at the back. So as everyone sort of bowed their heads to pray, he noticed that a man in the balcony was wearing a wig. And when he bowed his head, this wig fell from the balcony and landed on this poor old lady's lap. And this poor old lady opened her eyes to see this wig and looked up and saw that the man in front of her was also bald. So took it upon herself to save him the embarrassment and stick this wig on his head. I don't know if there was an answer to prayer there or if there's any truth in this story, but I find it funny and I like to think it's true. So, yeah.
I've got a funny prayer story that I was debating whether to share because it was in our youth group. So you've got to put on the cap of youth pastor, okay, before we're going there, okay? So we were getting together after our youth group and we always have a little debrief. And one of the youth team said, oh, I'd done a terrible thing this evening when I was praying for someone. And I'm like thinking as the youth pastor, oh my goodness, what's happened? What's happened? And he says, this guy came for prayer. He shared what he needed prayer for. And he was just passionate. He says, I was just so passionate to pray for this young lad. I seen what he wanted prayer for, he said, and I wanted God to move. So I laid a hand on him and we're like, oh no, what's going on? And he said, in that moment, I just said, Lord, Lord, set his fart on fire. And he realized at that moment what he'd said, and he felt like the whole ground, got to remember, youth pastor cap, and he's just absolutely mortified. And I tell that story because sometimes when we pray for each other, we'll get it wrong.
Yeah.
We'll get it wrong, and it's okay. And we had a giggle, and the guy laughed, and he laughed, and he continued praying, and God blessed them both in the mix of that.
He's a very funny guy.
Yes.
There was a tale with him. So following on last week from Emma's beautiful talk, we were reminded about this space. This space, this church, what we do here, why we do it, and who we do it for. What God has called us to be as his believers, but also as the vineyard, as the movement of vineyard, and who that makes us out to be. Our life group has been journeying through the values of the Vineyard book, which is amazing, and it's great to go back to the basics again and remind ourselves. And for many of you who've been around this church for a while or the Vineyard, you'll have heard of the phrase, everyone gets to play. So that is a great phrase. And sometimes we relate that to serving, to playing our part, to getting involved. What is your piece to play? But more than that, it's also about ministry as well. And praying for one another. We are all called to minister to one another and to lay hands on one another. And we are just so hungry. I'm hungry to see more of that in our spaces, in our times. And so that is what the session is about.
And that's why we're both here sharing this morning, because we do believe there's more in these spaces that the Lord wants to do and to invite us afresh into what that looks like for each of us. So we're looking at prayer, and in particular, praying for one another. The Bible tells us that God always wants to draw near to his people. That's his heart, to reduce the distance. He wants to be near us. What you often find is that when we take one step towards God, he runs towards us. Maybe you're here this morning doubting that. You hear that line and you think, I'm not so sure. But the truth is that he longs to meet with every single one of us. No matter where you're at, no matter right now how you are feeling, no matter what the person next to you thinks, he is eager right now in this moment to reduce the distance. Just think about that phrase for a little moment. It's such a vivid phrase, a vivid picture of God's love and pursuit of each and every one of us. And as we look throughout God's word, we see various examples. We see reinforcement of that truth. In the book of James, in writing to the early churches, we read in James 5, starting at verse 13, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." Paul also, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, writes in Ephesians 1, verse 18, "I pray," that's my page, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29, after those famous verses that we all know, and I'm sure we've all got a plaque somewhere in our house, great verses, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Right after that, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me." When what? "When you seek me with all your heart." He wants to involve us. He chooses us. He could do it without us, but he loves to take us along for the adventure. It's his ministry, and we get to partner up. Everybody gets to play. It's something we say a lot at church, and it's actually really intentional, so we don't have the same group of people every week. Because we all get to play or pray. Prayer changes things. And that's why we'll always make time for it every week. And that's why, as we mentioned on Vision Sunday a couple of weeks ago, we want to prioritize the presence of God in this space. That's why we're doing this talk. We're not just here for a lovely cup of coffee, as much as I harp on about it every single week, and to sing some nice songs. It's actually worship. We're here to meet with the God of the universe by his Spirit, to worship, to surrender, to align our will with his. Less of us and more of him.
So this morning, I want to do something and share something a little bit different. We're going to roll our sleeves up at the end and get a chance to practice. And we'll talk about that in different ways. And there'll be different options for different people that feel differently. So it's fine. And practice is good for a number of reasons, isn't it? Practice is good because it makes a safe place. A place where you can make mistakes and that's okay. So can we agree that that's okay this morning to make mistakes? It's okay. Yeah. We're going to have grace for one another. Good. So we're on the same page with that. Great. And we learn as we practice. Practice is good because that's how we learn. The more we practice something, the better we get at it and the more equipped we feel. And we build in our confidence. We build as we're more competent in doing it, as we've been doing it more often, then the confidence begins to come. We have more confidence in ourselves, and we're more confident in what God is doing and what he might be saying because we're doing it more often. But I just want to reassure you finally that God is still God, that God, the pressure is off of us, that we are simply pointing people to him. So the pressure is off us. We don't have to strive or do anything but bring people into his presence. So if you forget anything, remember that is our truth and our foundation this morning. So before you all panic and run out of the room, we want to share how we pray for one another, because it is a massive part of who we are as a church. And rather than maybe having an evening where we could opt in or opt out of coming along to the session, we felt it was really important just to come up and set it a stall for all of us on a Sunday so we all know what's going on. And we see and we know that every week we make space at the back or at the front, don't we, for ministry time. And we know through the week we're meeting up with people, we're seeing how they are. And there's always stuff. There's always stuff for all of us going on, ourselves included, that we can be wanting more of God, more of his presence, or simply just to be filled from him. Because we leak. We all are leaking. We are filled with his spirit when we become Christians and we receive Jesus. But that's not the ultimate time. We all leak constantly until we reach glory, that we need to be filled constantly. So keep on being filled. So that is why we do what we do. And we love to bridge that gap. Perhaps there is some fear or anxiety or unknown, perhaps, or various reasons why we might feel on a Sunday that that space is perhaps not for us, or we count ourselves out, or we discount ourselves as being able to pray for one another, or to not receive prayer, or whatever that might be. And we'd love just to set that challenge out again for all of us, to remind it of that, who we are as a vineyard, as a movement, that we pray for one another. So if you're a regular member of this church, part of the life group, then you are the ministry team. This is your official commissioning, just like you are on the welcome team and you are welcoming people, which we all do beautifully. I know that because I hear that all the time. We are also on the ministry team and we care for each other so well here. So please hear my heart in that. But we want you to feel confident and competent, and it's our job to tell you that. I don't know. So it's really very simple. We have so many children through the house next door. That's an Aberdeen thing, isn't it? Through the house. But next door, we have so many children now. If you pop through your head through there, you'll see it is busting. We're soon to be outnumbered, so we better watch our backs. And our eldest, he jammed his finger in the door yesterday, and he was howling the house down. You know the way you jam it in the door. It's really sore. And it was a shame because he was trying to make a really valid argument and point at the time. So it was really unfortunate timing. But nevertheless, we said to our little toddler, our youngest, why don't you pray for Joshua? Joshua's crying. And he went over, didn't he? And he laid a hand on him and said, Dear Lord Jesus, stop crying, Joshua. In Jesus' name, amen. And he's two.
And that's pretty much how you do it, folks. So let's work.
And I just felt challenged as I pondered that. We can't let them have all the fun. If our wee ones can do it and it's that simple, then we can do it, can't we? Yes. And we want this to be the norm, to be the culture. Wouldn't it be wonderful if on a Sunday while we come in and someone shares something in the tea and coffee queue that they're really struggling with work or a situation in the family is really difficult, that we just say, as well as just being listening, compassionate and caring, that we also say, why don't we pray for that right now? Why don't we pray for that right now and bring it to Jesus? And that just becomes a natural part when we're going through to the kids' room, when we're going to the loo, or maybe not if you're desperate for the toilet. But, you know, just my point is that it's just a natural thing, that it's the first thing that comes to our minds, that we are in this together, and that's what sets us apart from the world, that we can come to this place and receive prayer. And we have a responsibility to us, to our friends, right, and our family round about us here, but also for those coming behind us, because there is a generation coming behind us that are watching us, far more than we can see or understand, actually. They are taking it all in. And we have a responsibility to them to say, this is how you do it, and this is natural, and this is our culture, and it's who we are, it's what we do, and that just becomes really natural for them. So I felt as I... Yeah, that perhaps for some of us, that is something that the Lord is just putting on our hearts. and to step into the uncomfortable. So, you know, it might feel a little uncomfortable at first doing anything maybe new or trying to go back to old ways of doing things maybe that you get out of the habit with. Can feel a bit like a gear change, but as you do it, it becomes habit, and it doesn't take long for habits just to settle in, and that becomes what we do, and it's the first thing that we think of to do.
Brilliant. And mindful that there might be, well, throughout this room, there'll be lots of us with different experiences of church and how things are, how we've done things, and it'll feel very different perhaps coming along to a Vineyard church. We realize that. For me, I am the son of a preacher man, so I would always get that song sung at school by my friends as I crossed the bridge as I was meeting them most mornings. So I was brought up in a Baptist church. My dad was a Baptist minister. And I remember the first time I went to a church that wasn't a Baptist church. It was City Church, as it was known in Aberdeen, and people with their hands in the air. And I was like, what's going on here? And actually, just lots of differences to how church was done in terms of praying for each other and waiting on the Holy Spirit and, you know, praying for each other for healing. So it's useful that we take some time to remind ourselves or familiarize ourselves or learn for the first time how we do it within the Vineyard. We're not just a bunch of people that just meet on a Sunday. We're not just a crowd. We are a family. We're a family. We're God's chosen people. We love you, lovely lot. It's family. It's family. And I love that word. I love that word. And I realize we all have different experiences of family. And we all do things slightly differently, different ways of doing things practically. And it's a bit like that with church families. There's different prayer models, different practices for how we do prayer. And it's not that there's a formula. It's just these are some helpful tools. These are some helpful tools for the toolkit that we've adopted and that can be helpful in praying for each other and that we have seen God move when we use these tools. Mm. So ultimately, it's our heart that you meet with God and that we know that a word or a moment with him can change the path of our lives forever. That we wouldn't just leave on Sunday just with head knowledge, saying things like, I get that, I understand that, or we evaluate the experience with our heads, then we do our shopping for a week and get back into the groove of the week ahead. But that we would be changed from the inside out. That our lives would be enriched with the things of God and that we would become more like Jesus to do the things that he did, to love who God puts in front of us as we step out and the rubber hits the road on a Monday morning, to look and act different, to be attractive to a broken world. So we want to create space and have moments where we take a step back and ask the Lord what he is doing and try to be obedient to that. And those moments will often involve us getting alongside each other. I'm just going to throw this away because otherwise we'll get mixed up. And then we'll repeat everything. those moments will often be moments where we get alongside each other in prayer and what we call the ministry time, which basically means a time where God can meet with us, work in us, and that he can take charge. Mm-hmm. So we can say, come Holy Spirit, that he might increase so we decrease. We need the Holy Spirit. More than ever, we all need to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit. So you're going to pray.
Yeah, now. Yeah. So that's before great. The word behold, we've been looking at that, haven't we, as a church? And I was reminded of the verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That Jesus, as part of our year, we're looking at this, behold. And Jesus, he's not a bulldozer. He doesn't come in and just force his way into our hearts, into our lives. We have to open the door to him. So why don't we pray that right now. Mm. So I'll repeat that verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus, we long for more of your presence. Perhaps in your mind you can picture that door that is closed. And if anyone hears my voice and responds and opens that door, I will come in and be with them. So why don't you in your own time, if you feel able to picture that, just to open that door to him. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't barge your way in, but you allow us choice and freedom to give you permission to come in and to be with us. I just pray for those of us who are finding that hard or have never done that before, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would show them more of you. We give you our minds. Amen. Was anyone able to do that? Yeah. Does anyone want to share anything that they saw or perhaps found it difficult to do? Or no, you don't have to. Very, very wild to do that. Right. Sometimes when we come into these things, God uses all of our pictures and who we're made to be. You know, some of us are very creative, and you might know that you are. You've got a bit of a creative edge about you, or you're a picture person. I am a picture person, and for some of us who are picture people, the Lord might use that part of who you are to show you pictures or images or nature. Perhaps you love being outdoors and you love the nature. Well, that very well is probably where the Lord will speak to you, and that's the place where you love to lean in to hear from him. Or perhaps you're a joiner or something like that, and you just see lots of tools with that and the door. And like, I love how God speaks to people differently. And often when you do these ministry times with people, you just think, wow, I would never have been thinking like that. But look at how God's spoken to you in that way, because you're unique and that's who you are, and God's spoken to you in that amazing way. So I love that about God. So there are five areas, very practical steps that we're going to run through this morning. So first of all, in prayer ministry, we are to stand. So in this moment of praying for something, we stand in the authority of God, not in our own authority. So for me, when I'm working, I'm a nurse, so I have uniform. Does anyone else have a badge or a uniform or a pass or a thing? Lots of us have a thing. And when we go in the morning, it's funny because you go into the hospital and you just have your normal clothes on. You go and nobody asks you anything. And even if they look lost or ill, you think, oh, are they okay? And then they're looking at you like, what do you know what you're doing? But then as soon as you have your uniform on, there's a complete shift. It's like, oh, everyone, like, where do you go? Where's this department? Where's that department? I don't know. But there's just a total change, and you have authority to speak into people's health and promotion, or to do things that you wouldn't normally do if you weren't in that position. So like the Royal College of Nursing gives you that authority. But it doesn't matter that we're perfect. We stand in his authority. So we stand in the authority of Jesus and what he did in the work on the cross. So as his believers, we are standing in his authority, and we are doing it in Jesus' name. And it doesn't matter about us, just like Emma said last week. It's not about us, where we're at maybe, the struggles that we have. It's about standing in his authority, regardless of ourselves, despite of us. And what else? Yeah. When you stand under that, you stand also under those who lead in the church. That we lead this church, and the way we do things, as Thomas has said, the way we don't, following models and methods of doing it, because that's who we are as a church, as a vineyard, and who God's called us to be. And as we've been around movements and things, we've seen that this stuff facilitates the movement of Jesus and the movement of God, and breakthrough comes and freedom comes every time. And there's often more than what we see with our own eyes and our humanness, that God is doing so much more. He's always working. So if someone comes and asks for prayer, let's call them the receiver. I would ask, first of all, if they want to say anything, if they want to share anything. And that's up to them. They don't have to share anything at all. They can say, no, I just want to come for prayer. That's fine. But it gives them an opportunity if they want to say something or share something with you that they can. So it gives them that sort of freedom to share or to not share. So that's something that I would always say. Is there anything you would like to say? And then I would encourage them to put their hands out, if possible, to be open to receive what God wants to do. And when I was growing up, my mum used to do this. She would say, close your eyes and put out your hands. And you would often be given something, a special time or something. And I've sort of adopted that with the boys. I'll say, close your eyes and put out your hands. It's very funny. And you might just have a chocolate bar for them on a Friday or something like that. But it's just that receiving their expectation, and they're just, ooh, this is exciting. What have you got for me? What is this surprise? And that is basically what we're doing with God. We're saying, what is it you have for me? We've got this expectation that he has something good for us. And it's always good. It's never something horrible or scary. I mean, you wouldn't put something awful in their hands and they'd go, oh, that gave me a real fright and now I'm upset. You would never do that as a parent. And similarly, God, our Father, he is longing to give us good gifts, good things. It's nothing that's going to take us by surprise. It's going to surprise us or scare us or anything like that. So then I would lay a hand on them and I would ask if I could lay a hand on them to bless what God is doing. And the Bible speaks about that, the laying on of hands. So that is why we do that. And that might be various places. I would do that maybe over their ears, perhaps if they're saying about things that they've been speaking over themselves, lies that they just can't shift, then there's often freedom that will come if placing your hands over their ears just gently and asking the Lord just to speak, just to take away those lies or to reveal more in what they've been hearing or speaking over themselves. Or similarly on their head, perhaps the Lord wants to bless them. Sometimes that would be, let's bless them. Let's put our, you sense the Lord is pouring out his blessing. Then I would put my hand on their head. Or maybe in the lower back or in their stomach, if it's something that's deep that you think there needs something to shift in this. And you might move from position to position, moving in that to see if the Lord wants to do more in that area or what it is. And then you can check in with that person. You can say, how are you doing? Is God doing anything? They might say, yeah, God's speaking to me about something. They might say, no, I'm finding it really hard. And you might say, well, why don't we ask why you're finding that hard and see if God wants to show you anything in that. So you go back to that and you just gently sort of go through that bit again, or you just don't know what God could be doing in that moment, and they'll share. And it would be for the same sex, for men, praying for men, and for women, for women. That's what we do in this church, just to not cause any distractions or for anything to get in the way of praying for one another. And when we pray with someone, we'd love if you can do that in pairs if possible. Two heads are better than one. So sometimes it's nice to be with someone alongside someone, and you can often sort of tag team, and you might see something and they might see something and pray into that. And the Lord will just use you both together. So we'd urge you to do that.
It's good. So the first one stands. Next one, stop. So this is totally counterintuitive. This is the next S. So we're making space. We're asking Father, what do you want to do? So it's a proactive waiting. We're not marking time or treading water. We're asking, what have you got? So we're dialoguing with the Holy Spirit. And we must not lose the art of waiting. We're not good at it, are we, with queues or with download speeds or traffic? So choose to wait. Don't rush. Just wait. So that's the next one, to stop. And then there's listen. Try not to talk, to fill the space with words when we're praying for someone. Keep words to a minimum. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago about listening slowly. So it's a divine moment at this point when you're praying for someone. There's other places that we can talk. So to make sure it's not a massive conversation, we don't want a full divulge of information or a life history, but just to be sensitive to what they're sharing, but continually asking God, what do you want to do? And to listen. Don't fill the room with words. I'm conscious of the time. So we'll
I am aware
through.
Of that. We will rattle through, Mary, won't we? Right, Luke, so keep your eyes open when you're praying for them, not to have your eyes closed. Just like you wouldn't keep your eyes closed when you were driving, you want to see which direction you're going in. Similarly with prayer, you would want to see what direction is the Lord going in. I can see the Lord's resting on them. Let's go with that. Or, nothing's happening. They just feel stuck. Let's ask them what they're doing. So you just want to keep your eyes open and just see what the Lord is doing. And sometimes something physical will happen. I'll often share about when we were coming to Church Plant way back, we were praying into that and our team were praying for us. It was a physical sort of birthing feeling that I felt. Something really physical was going on in me anytime anyone prayed me for Inverness. And I thought, we've just got to get here, so this will stop. And it did.
I remember.
But it was just, it's loud, it can be messy, there can be physical things. You might see just a tear, someone just on one eye, just a tear coming down their face when the Lord is just meeting with them in a really intimate and precious way. Or perhaps there'll be shaking, or perhaps there will be shouting, or whatever. And we're not to be distracted by that. That's okay. And to stay in our lane, perhaps we're receiving prayer and we're hearing something going on, and that's okay. Just to keep on meeting and staying in our lane with God. And I love the snot and tears. The messier the better, it's fine. Let it all out. But just to be careful with tissues. So quite often, I think in this culture, we're desperate just to give out tissues and make everything fine. But it's okay. If the person receiving is okay and they're not sort of dabbing at their face and stopping their tears, then don't go in too quick with tissues and trying to get them to put themselves back together. And I heard this gold, it said, a quote, "It matters a little if you encounter the Holy Spirit and you shake, shout, and fall down. But what matters is if you get up and do life differently. If the encounter doesn't lead to real change and how you do life and leadership, it means nothing."
That's good. Next one, speak. We don't say very much. Bite your tongue if you have to. The silence is supernatural and less is more. So I would fill the space with words when I was praying with someone. So keeping words to a minimum. Then we pass on what we think God might be saying. It's okay to cut in and ask how they're doing or feeling during that time that we're praying for them. I might be wrong, but I have a sense that God might be saying this. It's a good practice to limit vocab when we're praying for the person. We might feel when we're praying with the less is more bit that 2 minutes feels like 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that time of silence, the Lord is often doing more than we can imagine. Mm. In that space. So to stand with them in that moment and wait. So, yes.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, we've got about 5 minutes before the service ends. So right, what do you want to do, boss?
We've got the gist of that. Right,
done that. Just very official. We've got the gist of that, yes. Done that.
Hang on, just if there's anything, yeah, okay. How are we doing? We're feeling good? Yeah. Shall we stand then? Yes. Give yourself a shake. So we'd love for you, if you feel okay, comfortable to do that, that's the word, to get into little groups of three. Move the chairs if you have to, that's fine. Perhaps you want to split up from your spouse or whoever you've come with to get into little groups, male with male, female with female. And if you are completely new to this and you are wanting to put on an L plate right now, that is fine. You just stand and look like you know what you're doing. And that's fine. It's fine. Blag it. What is it, the word this? Fake it till you make it. That's the one. But so why don't we do that? Shift the chairs and we'll get into threes. Or four.